You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, Don and Max, you, Max, I'm speaking to because I'm about to introduce another Max. But what we do on this podcast, Don, if you hadn't worked out over the 2 years we've been doing it, 4 years. You haven't been doing it for 4 years?
Oh, you can in Grant Thompson, are you, Don? And Mike Sheen and
you
all that?
You weren't on it then.
Yeah.
We haven't been doing it for 4 years. This is what's wrong with you. You've got no perception of where you are or what time it is or what year it is.
We have got 8 million, what do you call it, downloads, 2 million a year.
We haven't been doing this for 4 years, my friend.
Johnny.
No, Don. We'll go back to the drought. This is why you mention the same things week after week, because you can't remember you mentioned them the week before. Anyhow, we shouldn't have a domestic argument in front of our guest here. Now, what we've done over the 2 years we've been doing this and the 8 or 9 or 10 million downloads we've had, because we're very successful, Don, and we don't get sponsorship because we don't want it, is that we've spoken to a whole lot of range of different people on various aspects of society in the community, but we very rarely speak to young people. Have we ever spoken to a young person on this forum, Don? Anyhow, we're about to. I won't ask you a question you can't give an answer to. So we've asked this young man to come in, and what we've had to do, not we've had to, but I'm very glad that his father has come in, because we're meant to get parental consent if you speak to a young person under a minor, that is under 18 or is it 21 or whatever it is.
You've also got to do a police check as well.
On his father?
No, on you.
On me, yeah. What? Yeah, to see. Yeah, no, that. Shut up. So, because we shouldn't ask indelicate things to people whose mature mind mightn't be able to process what we're asking.
That's Don every week, mate.
Yeah, that's you, Don, every week, Don. That's right. I've trained on you. This immature mind. So anyhow, we've asked this young man. I'll tell you what his name is. His name's Max Becker, and I'm going to read out, because we get all our information from the Google machine. You know that, Don. And it says, young Max here, Sports Entertainment Network, that's SEN, isn't it? That's what SEN means. We'll be giving aspiring, this is probably old stuff, but Max will fill us in, was giving an aspiring media presenter, Max Becker, the opportunity of a lifetime with the 15-year-old to co-host a Kids Edition show alongside the AFLW or AFWL star Ellie Blackburn. And it goes on to say that Max has been given a gig, and he took over from our friend that we spoke about, the that Rex came in and said, what's her name?
Daisy Pierce.
And I'm not sure about all this, but as is normal, our research is so scratchy, and we have no real idea what our guests have done. But what we like to do is ask them what they've done, and then we listen to their answers, and then we ask questions from there. We don't just have a whole lot of questions and wait for them to stop speaking so we can ask the next question. We listen to what they say, and then we go from there. So, Max Becker, welcome to You Cannot Be Serious. For a start, do you have just what do you do, and why are you in here with us today?
Well, first of all, g'day Sammy, g'day Don, g'day Max. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on the podcast. First of all, I'd like to think of myself as, you know, a young aspiring journalist and media coming up through the ranks. So I host the Kids Edition on SEN right around the country every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. with, as you mentioned, Sammy, AFLW Western Bulldogs captain. She's a superstar, Ellie Blackburn. And yeah, just recently, you were correct. Of my word, you've done your research, Sammy.
I've done no research, Max. Get on with it.
Daisy Pierce, yes, we've taken over from her. Well, I believe Rex Hunt has come on the show. And
Rex has been on the show?
Has he?
No, on this show, but he's talking about what you said.
Yes, yes, this show.
Yeah. Now, Max.
You're mentally ill sometimes.
Fantastic. Now, you're 15?
Yep, 15.
What?
15?
15, yeah.
Yes, Don, would you repeat that he's 15? Max said he's 15, I said he's 15. That's, we got it in triplicate. He's 15. So what a fantastic opportunity, Max, for a young boy, a young person, to come on and get into the media, because we've all been in the media in various aspects, and it's not necessarily where you are, but who you are. It's not the opportunities you're given. How did you get this opportunity in the first place? Did your dear old dad or mum push you up, or did you were out somewhere and someone said, this is a very good-looking young lad and can speak properly? How did you get the gig in the first place?
No, so I started with my very own Sporting Max podcast at the start of lockdown, April 2020, and went on using contacts, making sure I kept in touch with people, because as you may know, Sammy, and you boys have been in the industry and sports and AFL industry a long time. Connections is everything. So I used my connections to work my way to get better and better guests, and I ended up getting Craig Hutchison, owner of Sports Entertainment Network, SEN, and he was kind enough to give me his time. I was very grateful for his time, and I continued staying in touch and pestering him and his assistant and manager just to annoy him a bit.
So, Max, you decided during lockdown that you would get a microphone and think, I tell you what I'll do, I'll dip a toe in the water here and I'll see if I can start a kids podcast, if you like. Am I getting any of this wrong? And you thought, I'll go out and interview some people, and it's gone, it's snowballed from there. Is that right or not?
Yeah, that's correct, Sam.
And so, Don, it's always a trap to speak to animal to have animals or kids on a show, because they'll end up usurping you and be better than the actual people who are running the show. And I've got a feeling this is going to be a case in point. No, he's blowing you out of the water.
Exactly.
Already he's blowing you out of the water. A, you can understand him, and B, you can speak properly.
It's in the name. It's in the name.
Max, yes. And this is my son, Max. So you started off, and then Craig Hutchison gave you an opportunity to use his equipment, or what did he give you, some advice? Because he was part of the footy show at one stage. He hosted that with Rebecca Madden.
Was yes, he? Yes, so that was actually the highlight of my week as a youngster, getting back from basketball training, sitting on the couch just to watch you blokes have, you know, a bit of a chat with Rebecca Madden and a bit of fun on the footy show on a Thursday night. So he gave me an opportunity. I was so grateful, just, you know, to get into the studio, have a look around. I thought I was just going to get the Sporting Max podcast and the SEN app. I sit down with Sam, the national radio director at SEN, and she goes, right, we'll give you an hour spot for Sporting Max every Sunday. I sit there going, oh no, how much am I, I've put a whole pitch together, how much am I going to have to pay you to get a spot on air? And she goes, there will be a bit of a swapping of money. We'll pay you, you know. And I look up at her and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, am I getting paid to do this? And she's like, yeah. Like, what did you think I was talking about? I'm like, I thought I had to, you know, pay you just to get my voice heard on air, you know. And so from there, it kind of went from one step. And then Sam calls me one day in, I think it was March. I was off on a holiday up to Wilson's Prom, and she said, we want to do the kids edition, we want you to host it with someone in the football industry, and you're taking over from Daisy Pierce.
Wow. I would probably be correct in saying she would have to say that she's paying you, because then you might charge, or your dad might charge you with exploiting child labour. You can't, I think you have to actually pay people if you're getting them to be professional on a football show or any show. You have to pay them, or else you get into all sorts of legal trouble by exploiting and using child labour, if you know what I mean, Don. Do you think that would be right?
Yeah, no, I'm more intrigued about his show. So,
yes, so am I, Don. I was just saying that's why they'd pay him.
Yeah, but so just tell me about your podcast. That's what I'm interested in. How did you start, and how long
have
you been listening, man?
Have you been listening?
Yes, I have. I know he started.
Well, Craig Hutchison gave him a bit of a...
No, that was one interview.
I think that's a valid question from Don. I think that's a very great question there from Donny Boy. Okay, Sammy?
Don't encourage him, Max, for God's sake, man. Don't.
It's all right, Maxie. It's all right, Maxie. So, Dad was originally going to start a business podcast, found his mic, and...
He was what?
Going to start a business podcast.
Right.
So, I found his mic. I picked it up. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to start, just press the record button, started chatting about COVID and the impact it had on sport. So, my uncle gives me a buzzer, I reckon we can go a bit better with this, and I've got my mate who used to play in the NBL, so the National Basketball League of Australia. Had a chat with him, and then got a couple of other guests, and then obviously once you get to Craig Hutchison, you know, the magic of Hutchie that he can produce.
The magic of Hutchie.
The magic of Hutchie. I describe it as the magic of Hutchie. I love what he can do, and he can make things happen within
he can.
An instant, within the click of a finger.
Very well connected, Craig. Yeah. You followed his health regime, his fitness regime, Craig's, or you just gone off on a tangent on your own?
No, I've gone off on a bit of my own tank engine.
Good, like, well done. So who was your so then you think the success of these podcasts, beside the banter that we carry on with, is in the guests that we get? How did you who did you decide to try and ask to be a guest on your podcast first?
If there was someone, so you mean number one on my hit list?
Yes.
Originally, then it probably would have been Eddie McGuire, to be completely honest with you. So once I got him, I had to kind of, you know, reshuffle my ranks in order of where I wanted to go.
So you've interviewed him?
Yes, I've done Eddie.
He would love to do that, because if he thought he could give someone like you a leg up, he would.
He was so grateful, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have a chat to him. He gave me an hour of his time, which was only meant to be 15 to 30 minutes. I was able to get him for an hour, and I'm so grateful for Eddie's time. And he taught me a lot in that hour of how he came up through the ranks.
Well, you've started with the best, because if anyone is going to put you on the right track and tell you how the business works, there's no better than Eddie in Australia, maybe the world. He is a star.
100%.
So you've started at the top, so it can only go downhill from there, mate.
Hence why we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your show is on SEN. What time and when? What day?
So 8 till 9 a.m. every Sunday morning.
And what do you cover?
So we cover, specifically in the footy season, we're covering footy at the moment. So, and then we, I'm not sure if I can say this or not yet, but we may be getting the opportunity to play on, and because this is meant to be our last week of the show coming up. We're going to hopefully be granted the opportunity to keep going with the show throughout finals. So then, and then into the summer, to cover a broad variety and range of sports.
So at the moment, all you do for an hour is is football.
Yeah, is football.
Do you have guests?
Yeah, we have guests. So we've had call on the line. We've had Shane Mumford, Mummy. We've had Steel Sidebottom. Our Brownlow medalist Tom Mitchell. We've had a number of AFLW stars, because Ali's pretty well connected. So we've had Gabby Newton, Kirsty Lamb, just a couple of her teammates, and I'm trying to get onto Daisy Pierce at the moment.
Yep, fantastic. So you research all them, and you just ask them. Do you ask them just generic questions about sport, or do you get a bit personal with them, or do you try and be a bit edgy, or you just don't want to get over the top of your skis too early? You just want to just dip a toe in the water, I presume, Max.
I don't want to go too over the top, but I like to ask my guests hard-hitting questions that, you know, they're not just talking to a 15-year-old kid who's going to ask them a random question. For example, you know, who's the biggest player you've played on or whatever? I want to ask them a question that's going to make me stand out and make them remember me and go, you know, what, that I spoke to Max Becker.
So who helps you with your scripts?
I do it all myself. So I find my questions, I do all my research on Google, and for example, if someone's got a book, I might read their book if they've got a biography or something like that, and then I'll narrow it down into three sections of their career, and then I can expand off that, and when I get into the interview, really I add a bit of lip to each of those questions and I can probe off their answers.
So from a young man's point of view, coming into this world that we live in, Don and I, and not Max over here, but Don and I are into the time on of our lives, and we've seen the world change. You wouldn't know the world's changed, because you're just amongst it right now. What do you think of the world you live in, and the how careful you've got to be about what you say, and how you've got to include everything and be diverse and lateral and equitable? And do you find it wouldn't be a worry to you, because you've known nothing else in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I look back and reflect on, for instance, it's just an example, the AFL and situations and how much heat some of these players come under for acts they may take on or behaviour outside of football that they may do in the off-season or throughout the season after a game, let's say. And if you compare that, Sammy and Don, to maybe your playing days in the days of Tony Shaw, of Tony Lockett, all these guys like yourselves, and if there was this much media attention on the players, what what would happen? So that's the question I ask myself. And then, so for me, I'm of the opinion that if we can take some of that pressure off the players, whether or not there's obviously a fine line of how far a player can cross that acceptable behaviour line, and obviously what's acceptable or not, but it may allow them a higher level of play.
So how do you mean you take the pressure off the player?
So, for example, a player comes under scrutiny for an act off the field. I won't name a specific
yeah, off the field, yeah.
Off the field. Yeah. Won't name a specific player for that instance.
I'll do it. Dustin Martin. There you go. That's a good example.
Or DeGoey. Or DeGoey.
Dustin Martin. Jordan DeGoey actually hosted a night with Geordie last night. He was a good man.
With whom?
Jordan DeGoey and Brandon Maynard.
Yes, he is a good man. Yeah.
Yes, he is. Have you spoken to him?
I've spoken to him not on this forum, I haven't, but that's I've right. spoken to him.
Yeah, yeah. So, back on.
My apologies. I don't want to throw you under the bus.
Yeah, yeah. And so, for instance, the amount of pressure some of these players are on, for instance, Jack Ginnivan, I know you just supplied Max that example of Dustin Martin, but Jack Ginnivan, he's spoken about the toll it's taken on his mental health. He's 19 years old, let's remember. I know you're an AFL footballer. Can we think about what normal 19-year-olds out there are doing right now? Sammy, what are you think?
Asking me?
Yeah, so what do you think 19-year-olds out there are doing?
Yeah, what were you doing back in 1910?
Or maybe Max, how old are you?
I'm 24.
24, think, yeah. So what were you doing at 19?
Very good question. They just out of school and studying, and I wasn't doing anything near of what Ginnivan was doing.
No, but Max...
not as a bad thing, I just wasn't.
Max Becker I'm talking to. You ask, what is the relevance of asking what I was doing at 19, or what do you think people would be doing at 19? Are you saying they're under pressure to perform and train 7 days a week or have a job?
That's their job. Every 19-year-old has a job, but what are normal 19-year-olds doing outside of their job? Are they partying? Are they living it up with their mates? So,
of course.
Their personal life.
Yes.
Yeah, their personal life. So right. Can these players have a personal life without being scrutinised for...
Yes,
every move
the
they
social
make.
Media and all that, yes. Yep. So they're under more pressure, you're saying.
Yeah, than they allowed to spend
like
time with their...
Don and I were in our day.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys
that's true.
Were Imagine able to spend time with your families around. Without being seen or harassed in public.
No, that's true. So I'm staggered that your old man let you watch the footy show for a start. I was taken to task by, what was her name?
Alice in Wonderland.
Chatfield.
Yeah, but she wasn't being critical of you.
Yeah, no, she said I was racist and homophobic and sexist. And
that's the same.
And I'd invite set to come on here and tell us exactly, give us an example of that, because she couldn't. We were talking about what our opinion was of sledging. And you would have a different take on this in this day and age that we live in about conduct of people on the football field and saying making asides and trying to get under people's skin mentally. You would say that you wouldn't be a favour with any of that, would you? You would say that you've got to be pretty pretty nice and pretty gentle with people playing football and sport these days, wouldn't you?
I would say that. I don't mind to get under people's skin personally if I'm playing footy or I'm playing a bit of basketball. I think there's nothing wrong. Obviously, like I mentioned, there's a fine line of where you cross the line of acceptable and unacceptable behaviour, both verbally and physically, of what you can do out on a field or out on a court, for that matter of fact. And
absolutely.
So,
absolutely,
I don't mind.
Well said.
I don't want the AFL to end up being players playing in bubble wrap. Playing in bubbles. I like a bit of physical contact. I love to see a bit of push and shove. Bit of biff. It brings in a bit of emotion. It shows how committed some of our players are to the game.
He doesn't know any of the players. He's referring to Dane Zorko. We had a poignant discussion with it, or I tried to have a poignant discussion with it with Don. It was very hard. What did you think about Dane Zorko on Friday night to Harrison Petty?
To be completely honest, I don't think it was a necessary comment. I think, yeah, it's fair enough. Obviously, the Melbourne boys got around Harrison Petty and wrapped their arms around him, which
they
is...
They got around Dane Zorko as well. They, just a bit of push and shove for a 5'3", big-bodied, very big-bodied midfielder.
Yeah, yeah. So I think an apology is necessary to come from Dane Zorko. However, you know, a bit of biff on the footy field, Like, what was some of the things you blokes might have been saying to your oppositions? Anything,
we
anything to that extent?
Mate, we said everything. This was the discussion Don and I were having earlier. Nothing was off limits when we played, and it was said to us, and we said it to them.
You got to accept
Except I don't ever remember being making racial taunts to anyone I played with or against, or certainly against. So racism was out. But after that, we just did about
everything.
You just
went at each other. You went at each other.
We went at each other physically.
Physically
a
and
lot
verbally.
More, but verbally certainly, because if you came from the position where no matter what someone said to you, you know it was just purely to rile you up and get you, suck you in, you were immune to it because it meant nothing. It meant nothing. I had plenty of sledging with my friend here, Don, and no matter what I said to him, he knew that at the end of the you wouldn't even remember it at the end of the day because it just meant nothing. It was so over the top and so hyperbolic, which means so exaggerated, that you couldn't take it seriously. But people do in this sensitive day and age, in this wokeness that we live in, they take it seriously because they think it there's something either in it litigiously, or they think it might gain them some notoriety, or they don't want to fall into this thing that we call depression. This is where we're coming from. We don't understand it. I don't understand it. But this is why we have young men like you come on to give us the present day take on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously racial and homophobic slurs are all out of our game and want to, you know, exclude that part of our game. I don't think get under our players' skins. Emotionally, that's all right. However, if you get too personal with them, that's when it obviously crosses that fine line with society and how people outside of football and in the media view these behaviours.
And that, of course, is the problem. What is the fine line? You just mentioned. So we said racism. No, so we all agree with that. After that, then where's the fine line about someone's sexuality or someone's gender preference or someone's weight or height or looks or where does it start and end? And that's the minefield you get into, isn't it, Don? Go on.
Well, I was more interested bring it back to you, Max, because I'm more intrigued in you and your career. When did you start with it? I know we're going back 2 years ago, but how long have you harboured this ambition to be a sports commentator?
So really, as every 13, 14-year-old kid, you want to be an AFL footballer or some kind of sports person because you see them all on TV. Oh, how cool is that life they're living? You know, they're getting to play sport and make money for playing sport. So I wanted to get as much advice as I could to train up and try and become a basketballer. Once I hit about episode 30, though, I was like, I don't want to be a basketballer. I want to be a sports caller. I want to be a commentator. So then I really knuckled down on that. I examined what type of language I was using in my interviews, how I could extend on the language that I was using and make it, you know, a bit more advanced English.
So how and what did you do? How have you prepared yourself and who's been an influence and what do you actually want to do?
Yeah, so I want to be a sports commentator.
Yeah, but what that covers that covers a myriad
to
of
to get into specificity, specifically AFL and basketball.
As a journalist or as a commentator?
As a commentator and someone who's on air. So as a reporter.
A caller.
So as a caller, host.
So would you like to do what Brian Taylor or James Brayshaw do, call the football?
Yeah, call the football, television? But you also get your own, have your own type of weekly show where you get to discuss.
So you'd like to start off with something like the footy show?
Yeah,
be
absolutely.
A host, be another Eddie Maguire.
Absolutely, yeah, be another Eddie Maguire, Jared Whateley.
Yeah, the people that didn't come from playing the sport, people that come from watching it and experiencing not physically being on the field. It's very, a lot of great people do it. Mark Howard is one of them. Anthony Hudson, they're all very good at what they do on Fox and everything. And
yeah, because they've got to be good at that because the people who host the shows are great commentators, are great broadcasters and can look down the barrel of a camera and have confidence like you as a young man. And Eddie and all those people you mentioned, Max, that's their stock in trade. our stock in trade is being the adjunct to, because we've played and people think we have credibility, because we can speak about what it's like to be out there. And then if you've got something different or quirky or edgy about what you do, then that makes up a contingent of a sports show.
So you've mentioned basketball a couple of times now, so I'm going to ask you some basketball-related questions. Are you trying to do something with the... Well, obviously, Craig Hutchinson is involved with the NBL, I'm pretty sure, in some capacity. So have you asked him something about that for the season just coming up?
Yeah, I have. I've sent a pitch off to try and get myself to pay my way to Darwin for the NBL Blitz. I'm not sure how that's going down at the moment. I've got an email back.
Excuse me, what's NBL Blitz?
So it's like the pre-season tournament where all the teams meet up in one central location to display the skill of all the imports, so all the Americans who are coming overseas.
It's a very glorified camp as well with some game time.
Yeah. I want to get back to Don's point before he asked me who's been an influence to me and helped me modify that language. So specifically, English teachers at school, grateful for them because, you know, they obviously help you with your English, help you with writing. I've found...
Good.
I love my English and I love my maths at school.
Very important to speak properly.
Do the alphabet trick on him.
Very important
to
speak properly.
And have a retentive memory. And with that retentive memory, memorise a lot of shit that is not relevant.
Yeah.
You
very
bring
good
it
done.
In because you will sound intellectual.
Don't swear, Don, please.
But you're underneath, you're a fucking buffoon.
Come on, man.
Don,
what did we just say?
Don't swear in front
of our commentators?
Child guest.
Commentators that have been an influence, or you take, there's nothing original, but you take a little bit from this and a little bit from that. Who do you take a little bit from, or that, or what strengths or weaknesses?
So take a little bit from Jared Whaley. I think how prepared he is. He's got every word prepared out. So I sat there in the SEN studios over the school holidays for 1 week each day, and 2 days in a row I sat there for Whaley's show. So that's a total of 6 hours, and I sat there for the whole 3 hours of Dwayne Russell, just and also Andrew Gaze and Andy Marr, the run home with them, to just see how each of them prepares and how differently each person goes about it and what separates them and their own style in media. So Jared's always got every word planned out, everything planned out for the whole show. Andy can sometimes go off the cusp of things.
So just getting back, so Whaley cannot ad-lib?
He ad-lib. Yes, of course he ad-lib. He's got things planned out, though. He's a planned person. When he's asked questions, he's across everything in the past 24 hours, past everything 24/7.
So so you take preparedness from Whaley. What else do you take?
I'd take Dwayne Russell, the way he calls the game, and some of the excitedness he brings to the table. Then you've got someone like an Anthony Hudson, who you mentioned before, Max, and the way he goes about it. I think the way he can change his voice in different circumstances is phenomenal.
Any overseas commentators? Do you listen to things from overseas?
Yes, I listen to the basketball and the NBA. Sometimes they go, you know, the NBA, sometimes, you know, Max, NBA callers can sometimes go over the top. So you've got someone like a Stephen A. Smith who...
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Yeah, who's always...
Is he a commentator, or is he just... He's just a...
Sometimes he calls games. He's just...
Does he?
Yeah, sometimes. I've heard him once. Oh, God, so, but sometimes he just goes off, like, off his head. Have you ever heard Stephen A. Smith?
They have no idea.
I've never heard of him.
No?
Heard him.
They haven't even heard of basketball.
See, someone who's like, he'll go, there's no one really to compare him to in AFL because he's...
Rex Hunt?
Oh,
when he was calling football? I don't know. I don't know. What's Stephen Smith do?
It's Stephen A. Smith.
What's he do?
He's an eccentric, opinionated...
On what?
A vivid fan on basketball.
On everything.
The NBA.
Everything in basketball.
And everything outside of basketball that relates to basketball
so
players.
So do you like that?
No, personally, no. I'm not a fan of the way he goes about it.
Okay, so I would say
he's too exaggerated.
Okay,
he's hyperbolic.
So I would say hyperbolic. I would say Max,
what?
That he's getting. I would say that he does not prepare. Then, in that case, he just speaks off the top of his head. And I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with doing that, as long as
100%,
you
as long
because
as you know
ad libbing and having an answer directly when someone asks you a question that you haven't been given notice of, that is the art of doing That is, in my opinion, the art of making a successful show that people don't think, oh, this is glib and boring and contrived and rehearsed. And I would say the secret of the Footy Show for 25 years was the fact that no one knew actually what anyone was going to say at any stage, and we did it off the top of our head. Now, you might say the proof is in the pudding because it lasted for 25 years and because we probably got ourselves into trouble when society changed a little, that we're not on anymore. But I reckon 25 years in any run of any television show is successful in its own right, and we prepared for nothing.
Yeah, my contract. Anyhow. I don't want to do any work.
What about getting back to your influences and stuff? Different sports, different types of commentators. Cricket, different to football.
Yep.
Rugby union. There's a classic rugby union commentator called Gordon Bray. Fewer words, but he lets the action do the. How do you think, for example, different sports should be commentated on?
I think
for example, you would do AFL football. Do you
pretty
think
tough
it's
got
to be ball by ball, or do different. You think the viewer should make up their own mind and you come in as a commentator, or do you give a...
I think it's you don't have to call every play. You don't have to call every play. Obviously, you have your analysts there to provide feedback on the game, and there's always someone like a Dermot Brereton after every goal giving his thoughts and feedback.
Special comments.
Special comments, absolutely. Have you ever thought about that?
They did it, mate. You just weren't born.
No, that's a very good point, Max. Max, you.
Which one?
Yeah, you. Not Max.
You.
Becker.
We're on a podcast, mate. There's no video.
We Don did special comments on Seven, and I did them on 3AW and Triple M, and did it on the Footy Show. So you.
So how do you used to both find? And I want to compare your other experiences. How you find actually. Like providing special comments on a game?
Well, special comments, it depends if it's on the radio or the television. If it's on the radio, you have to be a bit more descriptive. But I'm telling you, most things that happen on a football field happen the same week in, week out, and people make the same mistakes week in, week out, and it's without repeating yourself, you can make most of it up. I used to go down and stand by the...
used to stand down by
the huddle at quarter time and three quarter time, and we would stand off just away from them a bit because they didn't like reporters or commentators being too close, and they'd Rex Hunt would pass me, would come down to me, say, "Sam, you're there. What are they? What's the coach saying?" I just make it up because you could tell what the coach was saying. He said, "Go in hard, try and pick your players up, all that sort of stuff. Just make it up." No one knows what they're talking. We speak more nonsense about special comments. It's quite obvious what players have been asked to do or what they're doing. You can see it on the television, and it's not necessary to have special comments, people. Television stations and radio stations jump into the lifeboats because they think the more credible people you have on the ground and speaking about football that have played the game, the better it is, and it's usually worse.
You've also got to have a rapport with the commentators you're working with because you've got to understand when they're going to pause. And that's
and
when
you take over.
That's when you come in and consequently, you know, you've got to work in unison. The only thing I find is that I don't get the information from football that should be. I think that there should be, say you as an example, you should follow Collingwood and you should go to every Collingwood practice and you can tell how that player has performed at training through the week. You've got to give background. I don't think enough background is given as far as commentary is concerned and the moves that will be coming up. You see the way they train, if they injured, whatever else. So I think they're stretching, they're not really, they should be far more resourced the commentary, and there should be one commentator dedicated to each team, and he knows that team intimately, so when they come together and play, he's able to bring another aspect instead of stating the obvious.
It is so funny that he talks about you have to have a certain repertoire and something, you need to know what your person's saying, and you interrupt every 30 seconds with some off-topic thing. It's just, it's refreshing to hear you say that, Don.
Don, give him a clip.
Fucking smart-ass little...
You don't clip. Swear, please, Don. We've got children.
That's
in
all right, I'm used to it.
No, just it's not a question of being used to it. don't swear. Max, So we're just winding this. Where do you think this is? You'd like this to head? You're obviously a very smart and presentable young man, and as I say, you're articulate and all that sort of stuff. You've got to be in the right place at the right time. Someone's got to give you the opportunity. It's a bit young in your career yet, but you'd probably have to put another 5 or 6 years in before you're going to sit behind a desk and present something. Where do you think it's headed? Do you like to go to the Olympics? Are you interested in all sports? Do you play sports yourself?
Yes, I play basketball. I used to play footy, but I'm meant to be under 16s now, so I'm incredibly short for my size.
And for a basketball, aren't you?
Skinny for a basketballer, I am, but on the basketball court, you're able to work your way around a bit
yes.
more. As a shorter guy. So on the footy field, played last night, I'm just getting slammed into the ground, just getting hammered, and I'm like this year, I'm like, I'm not getting clobbered by blokes. Oh, everyone's 6 foot tall, right?
It's about your centre of gravity, mate. Donald told you.
No, that's right. No, you're very small.
It's also maturity, my friend.
You're a very small lad and you can get knocked about. You
can. That is also maturity, and you might be a late developer, and at 16 or 17 or 18, you might be as big as what they are.
And then I can put the footy boots back on.
That's exactly right.
So of 9 or 10 or 7 or ABC, have they wooed you into any other positions than you're already on?
No, not this far, but continuing going into hopefully a media career. I'd like to be an AFL caller, 1, 2, like I mentioned to Don, have my own show where you can discuss footy, you can have footy experts on, have a chat about the game, you know, something I've thought about, want to bring back, I don't know who'd be keen on this, but I'd want to see the footy show back in action.
Yes.
Personally, that was just something that I sit back now and reflect on and go, that's the best footy show I've ever watched and no one can recreate that.
So Max,
Channel 7 did a good job.
So Max Becker,
so
in order for those things to be successful, you have got to be a little controversial and you've got to be a little lateral and diverse and obscure so that people think, gee, that's a different take on those obvious things. Don't always be obvious. Think about the diverse aspects of it. And then you've got to put up with the haters, the social media who, for one reason or another, the trolls will get onto you just because they might agree with you, but because you've said something bad about their side or one of their players or someone in society, they start hounding you, and then you've got to be resilient and strong, thick-skinned enough to put up with the haters on the social media, mate. That's another aspect of trying to be successful and trying to have a different sort of show. Yes.
As you said, it's savvy and deal with criticism that comes my way. I'll take it all on board and take it.
I would never take any criticism on board because it's the people who criticise are the people who have never done it in their lives before and have no idea what they're talking about, would wish they could if they could be, hope they could be what the people they're criticising are, but never will be. So never worry about the critics. Mate, you know if you're good or not, and you know what you do, and you know your soul, and you know your character. Don't worry about what other people say about you, because they're irrelevant and they're insignificant.
Jeez, I wish I had this growing up.
Would you say that to Abby Chatfield?
Hey,
what's that, Don? This, Max.
So what's that, Don? Yeah, absolutely.
Would you?
Absolutely, in spades. I'd say that about that person. Because they're just gratuitously stupid. They just make gratuitous statements designed to get a rise or make themselves in their own small circle of friends look important, and they're not.
So, Max, just getting back to you, because I'm more intrigued in what your line is going to be. Are you going to go off and do a media course when you graduate from school, or are you going to keep hassling and try and get in as a cadet somewhere, as a broadcaster or in the printed media, and then see where that leads you?
Yes, I'm going to go into and do a journalism course for starters while continuing to hassle. So it's going to be a lot on my plate.
Continuing what?
Continuing to hassle.
Oh, hassle, yeah.
Hassle and, you know, work my way into other job opportunities while completing a university degree. So I think the importance of having that university degree with regard for any job in media, it's just something you've always got, and when they're looking at credentials.
So in a media job at university, what are you covering? Journalism, broadcasting?
Broadcasting, I think they cover marketing, maybe a little
So what grade is 15? 15 years old? Is it grade 9? So have you begun to think, you're not even in VCE yet, are you, or IB? So have you really started to think about what you want to do after school in terms of studying and everything like that, in terms of this career? Wow. So amazing.
Well, Don and Max, you.
Which one?
You.
Oh.
Don, this is how people start off. We tumble into all these things and happen to be in the right place at the right time, and we have made the most of the opportunities we've been given. But here's a young man who has his destiny ahead of him, who knows what he wants and has all the tools to progress at 15 years of age. And we thank, I don't even know his dad's name, Mr. Becker, not Boris, is it? No, Mr. Becker's filming this, so you'll have a nice archival piece of footage to do on this. So thanks for allowing Max to come in, because it was very important we get parental permission to do this, Don. You've got to do that by law, I think. I'm not sure if that's the case or not, but we'll say it is, and we're sorry that Don swore.
So what's the inference?
He doesn't usually swear. The inference is that he's a star, he will be a star, and we hope that in our small way, Don, with the multitude of listeners that listen to You Cannot Be Serious around the globe, that we might in some small... What?
2 million a year. No, they just pump those numbers up, mate. Don't worry about it.
2 million a year. No, we've been doing it for 2 years.
Years.
Don, you say we've been doing this for four. We haven't been doing.
You're still
it
playing with Hawthorn then, mate. But
we like to embellish how important we are. We're not important. We just do this for our own amusement. But we hope that this small chat, Max, we'll send you on to bigger and better things. So we thank you very much for coming in and being part of You Cannot Be Serious, don't we, Don?
My word, and I've learned a lot, and I hope you do well, because I relate back to when I was in form, what is it, year 9, I didn't have a clue what I was going to do.
And still don't.
Yep.
Hmm.
And still fondering around. Yep.
I would say if you're going to have a role model, Max, just look at what Don's done and do completely the opposite. And probably me too, as well.
Take it into your own style, no craft. Thanks for having me on, guys.